good evening, Harvest family. Trust everyone had a bit of an afternoon. I took a nap this afternoon, but I feel like I didn't take a nap this afternoon. That's the results of getting up at 3 o'clock on a Sunday morning, or so. But you, so you may have to prop me up a little later. Have to shout a little bit to keep me awake. I hope not the case. But we're glad you're here. Let's go ahead and stand together. We'll go to the Lord in prayer. Ask him, Brother Chair, will come. Brother Leonard, would you open us in prayer, please? Amen. Bible tonight. Hope trust everyone has a handout. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. We do have plenty of time here tonight. Let me take just a moment. Anybody have before we get started, it's good to have the Pedersons back with us from their vacation and some others traveling. Pray for Rob and Katie as they travel as well. Anybody have a blessing they would like to share tonight before we get started? Brother Hottie, yes. Boy, amen. 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 Enjoyed the service. Appreciate the choir. Special music. Did a great job. Yes. Amen. Amen. Well, I am thankful. I'll share one of some of those may be thinking. I woke up this morning at 3 o'clock and could not go back to sleep, so I got up, and I'm glad. It's something I normally do not do. I made my way to the coffee maker to make coffee, but normally on a Sunday morning, I don't read the news headlines, I don't read text messages, and I don't read emails. On occasion, I'll look at the heading of a text message, see if it's from a church member. I usually don't do that. But this morning, because it was so early, what am I going to do at 3 o'clock? I normally don't get up until 5. And then so I got my coffee started and read an email. It was a second email from a soldier overseas just writing and saying, thank you for your online services. Our church back home does not have that. A smaller group, we don't have that. I hope they do get it. But I've enjoyed listening to the preaching and teaching. Shout out to Brother Smith as well, to the Sunday school class. Really enjoyed the services, and then went on to be a little more personable toward me as a pastor. And he has handwritten me an email twice over the last 3 months. So what a blessing, and developing a friendship long distance. And I really appreciate it. So I was glad this morning that I took that extra time to read that one email just to encourage me. And I felt like, okay, Lord, that's why I got up, to be encouraged, to be lifted up a little bit, and then now I'm ready to go along with that cup of coffee to wake me up. All right, anyone else real quick before we get into our lesson tonight? Going once, going twice? All right. Yes, Brother John? All right, if you have your Bibles tonight, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, we'll read our text here in just a moment. Got a couple other passage scriptures as well, and we'll get to those as well as we study. I trust everyone has a handout that would like to have one. Ms. Doyle, it's good to see you able to be with us tonight. It's good to see you again. Well, study tonight, what do you really know what you believe? And, of course, tonight is about God. And I got to thinking about that a little bit more. And, you know, I think it's so important, and as I've shared some statistics, this is just kind of a surface study on the topics we'll look at, hopefully to promote you, provoke you to study and get into the Bible more as well. Maybe some things that come up with questions that somebody has asked you or questions that you have had. Maybe we'll have the answer here for you tonight and hope to be a source of blessing and encouragement to you. But with all the statistics that we have today in our country and how much the world is drifting away from church, drifting away from the Lord, where we don't feel that we need the Lord, almost like a kid growing up, they can't wait until they get out of the house because they don't need their parents any longer. It doesn't take them very long before they realize sometimes how much we really still need that relationship and contact with our parents. We get saved and we go on our way. If we're not careful, I hope we never come to the point that we feel like, well, the Lord saved me, I know I'm on my way to heaven, that's all I need. Hope we never get to that point. And some of that's because of relationship and studying and knowing more about God. Webster's Dictionary defines theology as the study of religious faith, practice, and experience, especially the study of God and of God's relationship to the world. See, no greater subject, our first set of blanks, no greater subject by the mind than the study of God. If you thought about it yourself throughout the day, when's the time you look back throughout your day and kind of wondered about how much I thought about God today? How much was God on my mind? As Brother Kevin and John mentioned tonight, the little things. I get thankful, and I don't see it, but I wonder if Miss Carrie praises the Lord and jumps up and down when they're out running errands and Brother Ken doesn't stop at every red light in town. You know, sometimes the little things we should get excited about. The little things in order that God is, and sometimes those red lights are there to protect us from the next intersection, the next situation. And He's very protective. Yes, He is. Amen. Amen. You know, we are doing theology when we talk about God. But it's so much more than that. Moses said in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God. And then he goes on to tell us how we are to love him with all thy soul and with all thy might. So a question only you can answer, friends. Do you love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might? I would imagine that last one with all of our might, there might be some days that we don't feel like we have the strength to do it with all of our might. We don't have the emotional, spiritual strength to do that, but that's what we are to do. Jesus picked up on that theme again in the Gospels and saying that is the greatest commandment of all, to love our God. See, we are loving God. In fact, theology is an act of worship when we study and talk about God. Unfortunately, many people in our churches experience a bankrupt of worship because they've divorced right practice from right teaching. And is it not with disastrous consequences? As we look at our country today, we look at our churches today, and so goes the church, so goes the country. So goes the country, so goes the church. I think we're linked eternally in that area. Pollster George Barner reported that 33% of born-again Christians think good works will get someone to heaven. Another 26%, again, these are people and some believers, we'll get to that in a moment. Another 26% responded that it doesn't matter what faith system you hold, just as long as you believe in something. Worse yet, 28% believe that Jesus saved us when he was here on earth. This is where we're at in our country today. This is where we're at in our world today. Those statistics beg the question, where's the theology? Evidently, we're not talking enough about God. We're not talking enough about the goodness and the blessings of God. You see, without theology, we cannot appreciate the glory of God. Again, I'll ask a question. When's the last time that we just sat around and thinking among ourselves? Tonight I asked for testimonies, but how often during the week do you take some time to just thank God and praise God in your own private time? Thanking him for his goodness. Thanking us for his provisions. I guarantee you, when the other day, several weeks back, when I mentioned about my battery going out, I tell you what, I was rejoicing when I went out there and could start my car, got to thinking about it. Again, I was rejoicing. Praise the Lord. And it was here in my garage. It's not in the parking lot. It's not somewhere along the road at a red light that it died on that I'm able to have another car. I've got friends that I can call to take care of it right here in the comforts of my garage, out of the heat, in the shade somewhat. This is the little things that we should be thankful for. But do we talk about God enough among ourselves, among others, around others that are listening? See, without theology, we cannot fully appreciate, as I mentioned, the glory of God. We cannot understand the depths of his mercy, nor the extent of his wrath. See, grace has meaning in a religion devoid of biblical theology. God's goodness pales when the darkness of our sin is overlooked and undervalued. How much thought do we put into the goodness of God? How much do we think about God? I'll use myself as an example again, and something similar I've used in the past. Some of you guys remember, guys, we are fortunate. We are obviously have some, those of us that are married and have our wife next to us, we obviously wore her down that she finally said yes, amen. But I remember when I first met Michelle, I mean, that was one of the first things I thought about when I woke up in the morning was her, throughout the day and the evening, having to say goodbye, trying to push her off of me to get her to go back to her dorm. But you know, we met in Bible college, so you know I'm just kidding. But the point I'm saying is I remember that fondness and thinking about her, the first child that was born. And after our oldest, Rebecca, was born and the doctor handed me our daughter before handing her to Miss Michelle, just the thought the rest of the day that my whole mind was consumed with that child. How much do we think about our Heavenly Father? How much do we designate time to set aside just to meditate on the goodness of God and to think about God? His mercy and his grace. We do when we hear a sermon. As Christians, we do theology when we study the Bible. We do theology even during our prayer time. We do these things because we love God and we want to know more about him. Theology is not just for theologians. It is for the child of God. It's for those who worship him. Number one tonight, the existence of God. Here in our text, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Question for thought there that hopefully you'll take up on a little bit later. Why do you think it's important for us to understand what the Bible teaches about the existence of God? Why should we be comfortable with this? Why should we know where these passages of Scripture are on? Why should it be important to us as believers? Letter A, what others teach about God. What others teach about God. Some teach deism, which simply acknowledges there is God, but it goes no further. Aren't you glad that it goes so much further? Not only is there is a God, I have a personal relationship with Him. I can walk with Him and talk with Him. He talks to me through His Word. I talk to Him through my time of prayer. Some teach atheism, there is no God. Some teach skepticism, which doubts there is a God. And some that are agnosticism, believing that there may be a God, but that he or she is unknowable. What a wonderful thing that we can know God. In fact, He wants us, He invites us in. He even tells us in the Gospels to come boldly to the throne of grace. He invites us to partake and to know Him. Some teach pantheism, or the belief that everything is God and God is everything. By the time we would starve to death if everything was God. I'd be afraid to eat anything. Wouldn't it be wonderful to know that He is real and that we have a relationship, we can have one with Him? The existence of God. Not only do we see what others teach about God, but what does the Bible teach about God? What the Bible teaches about God? The Bible does not seek to prove the existence of God. It simply declares it. Read your Bible and you'll see it. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. In the beginning, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In other words, God was in the beginning before the beginning began. He is the uncaused cause. He is the one by which all creation was created. And He is the one by which everything is sustained. It is unwise to deny the existence of the one who gave you your existence. I remember talking to a young German college students when we were stationed in Germany. And after it was a time where they began coming to church and joining us on our Sunday night Bible studies. And eventually it led to another church being started in Mannheim. But anyway, after a while, several students began to come to attend the Bible study. We got a chance to talk to them, and they gave some reasons about why they came and why they were interested in seeking the truth about God. And then one day, and I got some knowledge from them and some experience about how they think and some of the things that were on their mind. And then we're out at the train station some several weeks later, and for some reason, I just sat down on the front steps at the train station. I think I might have been canvassing and passing out tracts and inviting some others to join us, some other Germans to join us in our, that speak English in our Sunday evening Bible study. And a young German couple, some couple of students, come down and just sat down next to me and started asking me what I was doing and how I was doing. They wanted to practice their English. And so I gave them all a track and was sitting there. We got to talking. Some of them made comments about their belief or their lack of belief. Some of them were skeptics. Some were atheists. Some were agnostic. And we were talking. And I shared the gospel with them. And after sharing the gospel, they shared a few things. And I listened. And I said, you know, my time is running short and I have to go here soon, but I'd like to leave you with a thought. I said, everything that you said that you believed, and some were all over the map, and what you believe is true, when we all die and we're put in the grave, what is next? And he said, well, nothing. I said, so that's what you believe? He said, yes. I said, well, from what I believe, and we all die and we yield up to ghosts and put in the grave, what I believe is that you will be in hell and I will be in heaven. And I explained what hell was. So then I asked, I'd like to leave you with this thought before I leave, and I hope to see you again. Who has the greater risk of being right and being wrong? Just think about it. Think about God. Think of the things of God. Pick up a German Bible and read it and invite them to our Sunday night study. Sometimes many people, a study, a challenge will lead a person to seek out the truth. Psalm 14 and verse 1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. What others teach about God, what the Bible teaches about God, and let her see what logic teaches about God. Logic teaches us that mankind has always believed in a universal being. Creation must have had a creator. Again, logic. Design demands a designer. Again, I've talked to several people about this aspect of creation and having a creator, or the Big Bang Theory. And I can remember as a teenager, and a lot of us could be a little cheeky, as the British would say, or smart alecks. And I had been talking to someone, and I just happened to have some Black Cat firecrackers in my pocket. And I asked them, so you really do believe that just a Big Bang explosion created the earth? He goes, yes, I do. I said, I'd like you to do something for us. What's that? Would you hold out your hand? And I hand him that packet of Black Cat firecrackers. I said, would you hold this until it's finished after I light it? No, I'm not going to do that. I said, well, there'll be several bangs there. Let's see what kind of creation we have of your hand when we're through and all those firecrackers blow up. Of course, he didn't want to have any part of that. And I said, well, what's the logic in believing there was just an explosion or just an eruption and that we were all created? Sometimes just talking about things like this can spur people to think and to think that work. Good and evil turned to logic. Good and evil necessitates moral law, which necessitates a lawgiver. Again, logic. Man is intelligent and moral, and his creator must be even more intelligent in order to create him. So often, I think it's so important for us when we have opportunity to talk to others, even though they may claim to be non-believers or atheists. It's good to talk to them and find out what they believe, why they believe it, and how we might direct them in some areas of logic and maybe eventually over to creation or something to think about. The existence of God. Number two, the nature of God. Again, in our text, A, God is a spirit. For the sake of time, I won't go through necessarily a lot of passages of Scripture, but several here. But I would encourage you in your further study of loving on God by studying God, maybe to find some more verses to go with these that I'm going to give you. God is spirit, John 4:24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Letter B, God is light. Bible says in 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 5, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness. Not only does it say that, in him there's no darkness at all. Letter C, God is love. 1 John 4 and verse 8, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Oh, what a challenge to ask the Lord to help us on a daily basis to love others the way he loves us. To love others the way he loves others. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Letter D, God is a consuming fire. God is a consuming fire. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 29. For our God is a consuming fire. Letter E, God is a person. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 14. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am have sent me unto you. God is a person. Letter F, God is unity. Oh, how we need this to be more true in our lives, in unity and being like God. 1 Timothy 2:5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Boy, it is wonderful to know that not only is God a person, but God is unity. God also is a Trinity. Very hard to explain. Romans chapter 1 and 7. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We see a portion there. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 8. But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of thy kingdom. And then Acts chapter 5, verse 3 and 4. And Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back parts of the price of the land? While it remaineth, was it not in thine hand owned? And after it was sold, was it not thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. Again, let me challenge you, let me encourage you to study, to think about God, to talk about God, to study God as we find Him in Scriptures. Study and learn more about His existence, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Take opportunity to talk to others. I could give countless examples through the years of being ministry in Europe and in Eastern Europe and running across people talking about God and having people attempt to correct me in the sense of which God are you talking about? Is he a he or is he a she? It spurned some conversation. It challenged me to study. It challenged me to pray. It challenged me to ask the hard questions, as I mentioned earlier. Who would have the greater risk? Me and what I presented to you, what the Bible teaches, or you and that which you believe? It encourages and challenges them to think about what they really believe. Number three, not only the existence of God, the nature of God, and then number three, the attributes of God. Again, we see in our text, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So, question, how would you define an attribute? Of course, we know it's a quality, a characteristic. How much joy, how much praise, how much excitement could you get out of a Bible study if you sit down just in your own experience and what you know, do you begin to write down and define or to list some attributes of God? Some things He has done for you, some things He has done through you, some ways that He has provided, just the attributes of God. I could give you some attributes and explain to you my wife, my children, my grandchildren, but what about trying to explain or making a list for our own benefit of some attributes of God? Letter A, God is omnipresent. Jeremiah 23 and verse 24. Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? God, it's just not fair trying to play hide and go seek with God, is it? We can't run, we can't hide. And again, so often we forget about the very presence of God, no matter where we are, no matter what we're doing or what we're talking about. Letter B, not only omnipresent, God is omniscient. Psalm 147 and verse 5. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. Isn't it wonderful just to think about the presence of God, who He is? A God that can be all things, all people, everywhere at the same time. He hears my prayers, and even at the same time, He hears yours. Hey, there is no language barrier. There is no culture barrier. He is all things and can be to all men if they would approach Him the right way. God is omnipotent. Matthew chapter 19 and verse number 26. But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And I thought about that when I was studying for our message this morning and thinking about Kadesh Barnea, as we gave the example this morning, thinking about the city of Jericho and how difficult it must have been at times to put that full, complete faith in God. There's this walled city, as I mentioned this morning, quite large, quite thick, protected, fortified, one of the greatest cities at that time that was so greatly fortified and protected. And to tell everyone, no, we're not going to run in and fight. We're not going to scale the walls and go over to conquer it. We're just going to march around every day for 6 days. We're just going to march around, and then on that seventh day, we're going to do something a little different. And they did exactly as the Lord told them to do. And the city was destroyed. The walls fell down. They were burned with fire. And God did exactly what He said He would do. How often do we know what the Word says? Do we know when we see it in the Bible? We know that God is all things. Yet sometimes in our human weakness, we have that little bit of doubt. We have that little bit of question. Yes, I know God can, but will He? It really doesn't matter if He will or He won't. We're just to be obedient, to do what He asks us to do. Letter D, God is eternal. God is eternal. Psalm 90, verse 1 and 2. Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, forever Thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting. Thou art God. With a God that's so gracious and a word that is set before us in our own language. Yes, he is omnipresent. He is omniscient. He is omnipotent, as I mentioned, but also that aspect of him being eternal. And then letter E, which I think is the biggest problem that we have in a nation, is what we forgot. And that is God is holy. God is holy. Exalt ye the Lord, our God, and worship at his footstool, for he is holy. Some years ago, while living in Eastern Europe, Michelle and I had an opportunity to go to Budapest on several occasions. Cities broken up between really these two areas is Buda and Pest. And I got to see some things. We were told about some catacombs from Christians were there, some of the higher mountains and parts of the city. And then on one visit, we enjoyed going there. Our girls really enjoyed going there because they had a mall. That was the closest mall to us, and it was 2 hours when we were down south in Slovakia. About around 2 hours. And of course, I like to go because they had the best ice cream in the region, and they served them as big as softballs, you know, me and ice cream. The girls loved there because they loved to go shopping because it had an indoor mall. On one of our trips, we went by and we had the privilege of finding out there was a Jewish museum there. And I'm getting to a point here. There was a Jewish museum there, and we went and got to see it and really enjoyed it. We had a tour, and everything was in English. Everything was presented. It was just incredible of Jewish Americans, Jewish Hungarians. Those that were Americans now with Hungarian roots had sponsored, and some of them were quite wealthy. Some were actors. Some were musicians. Some had just made it big in business, and they donated to make it possible to inform people about the Jewish people that lived in Hungary during the time of Hitler's rule in a conquering part of Europe. And we got to see the museum. It was just breathtaking. It was spectacular. But here's something that got me, and I thought about the aspect of God, and God is holy. All those tourists that were there, all those people that came to pay their fee, to get in, all the excitement, I didn't hear one complaint. But because it was a museum, and a Jewish museum, there were some things they asked us to do. If you had a shorter sleeve, ladies, you were asked to wear a shawl to cover your shoulders. We were to cover our head with a little cap that they provided for us in order to go into a museum out of honor for them and the holiness of that place for them as a Jewish museum. You know, there was not one person that complained that they had to do it. There was not one person that complained about having to put a shawl on because maybe they were wearing a shirt that was sleeveless or shorter than others. Not one person complained if some of the ladies that were wearing shorts or a short dress to wrap a shawl around them because they wanted to go in. And they respected the beliefs of the Jewish people in the museum there, and they did exactly that. But yet now today we live in such a time that nobody wants to recognize the holiness of God. Others don't want to respect and honor the traditions or the practices of churches and beliefs today. And dear friends, we have forgotten that even Christians, I think we need to be reminded once again of this aspect as we study God. He is a holy God. Exalt ye the Lord. 99.5, our God, and worship at his footstool, for he is holy. What is something that we have done today over the last week that would explain and describe or illustrate how we believe in the holiness of God? When we open his word, do we think about the aspect, I am God in his holiness? Are we reverent in the time that we set aside for prayer and Bible study? Do we think in our mind as we drive on the church property about the holiness of God and we're coming? I'm not going to say that we're driving up on holy ground, but what I'm saying is we are coming to worship a holy God who loved us so much that he gave his only begotten Son. The Bible said that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. He loved us that much. Do we have the reverence that we should have for God? Do we recognize him as being eternal, as being holy? And if we believe that, how do we practice it? Do those who know us recognize us as people that worship a holy God and believe that he is holy because of the reverence we show him, that we show his house, that we demonstrate and show other believers? Do you really know what you believe about God? How much do you know about God? Are you willing to take up the aspect of theology and loving the Lord God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might? Oh, how our world could change and revival could come to our community, our homes, our churches, if we recognized and lived like we do of the holiness of God. Let's pray. Father, as we approach thy throne, we do praise you and thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you that you desire for us to know you, and you declare who you are through your word. Help us to know you more. Help us to study. Help us to do theology. Help us to love you with all of our heart, all of our soul, and with all of our might. Help us to be reminded on a daily basis of how eternal and how holy you are. And help us to begin our day with reverence toward you and time with you, that we might be what and who you want us to be as we start our day. Father, we love you. We thank you for your goodness. And we ask you as we depart tonight that you dismiss us with your love and help us to be what you would have us to be through this week. And may you be uplifted and glorified in our lives, we ask, in the wonderful, precious name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. All right, as always, the Lord loves you, his preacher loves you. If I can be helped to you in any way, please do not hesitate to ask. God bless you. You're dismissed.